You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Colin Smith of Open the Bible. To contact us, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or visit our website, openthebible.org. Let's get to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, good morning, everyone. Please have your Bible open at the passage that's been read for us from the first letter of John and chapter 1. We're beginning a new series today that, God willing, will come in short bursts throughout the course of the year. The aim of this series is to answer a single question: how can I be sure? How can I be sure? I think this may be the number one question that believers ask. And it's a good question, and it is rightly asked by thoughtful believers. We sometimes refer to this as the question of assurance. How can I be sure? And it is pressed on us for several reasons. One is that we live at a time when many people are abandoning the faith that they once professed. And a thinking person might reason, well, if other people who have professed faith have walked away, how can I be sure that that will not happen to me? How do I know that I am the real deal? The second reason that this question is pressed upon us is that thoughtful believers see the limits in our own pursuit of holiness. Perhaps you know what it is to be frankly dismayed by your own lack of progress in the Christian life. You think, for all the years I've been a Christian, I should be doing better, I should be further on than this. Or perhaps you know what it is to struggle with a stubborn sin. You fall into a sin that you've fallen into too many times before, and you wonder, therefore, well, was my repentance real? And if it was, then why am I back here again? We know that our righteousness is in Christ and not in ourselves, but we live with the sneaking suspicion that a true Christian would be doing better than we are. And the third reason that this question is pressed upon us is that when we read the New Testament, we read descriptions of experience that sometimes seem to be beyond what we have known. You open your Bible and you read Peter speaking about rejoicing with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Read Paul speaking about a peace of God that passes understanding, guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thoughtful Christian reads things like this and then says, well, can I really say that that is my experience? Am I a true Christian? The real question: how can I be sure? Now, this first letter of John was written to answer that question. John states it quite clearly in chapter 5 and verse 13, towards the end there. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Here's some good news. God wants you not only to have eternal life, God wants you to know that you have eternal life. And John says, that's why I'm writing this letter. I want you to have the peace. I want you to have the joy of knowing that Christ and all that he promises is yours. So how can that be? How can I be sure? Well, the answer to that question, as we're going to see from this first letter of John, is really a cord of at least three strands that is kind of woven together. And over the course of this year, we're going to look at the different strands. The first is to gain gospel clarity. The second is to cultivate gospel fruit. And the third is to practice gospel faith. And the plan for this series is that we will spend 3 weeks on each part of the answer to this question, how can I be sure? We begin with gaining gospel clarity, and God willing, we'll come back to this with cultivating gospel fruit in September and practicing gospel faith at the end of the year. So we're going to keep coming back God willing, to this theme in the course of the year, building our understanding of it from the first letter of John. Now, here's where we begin, that if you are to be sure of your standing in Christ, you must gain gospel clarity. And we begin here at verse 5 that was read to us, where John makes a marvelous statement about God. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is the message. Now, if we were to do a straw poll and to ask the question, where does the Christian message begin? Where does the gospel begin? I think on a straw poll, we'd probably get many people would say, well, it begins with the love of God. And John's writings are full of the love of God. It's John's gospel where we read that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And it's in this letter of John, the first letter of John, that John says, not once but twice in chapter 4, that God is love. We're going to see that this letter is full of the love of God. But the first thing that John tells us, this is the message, he says. The first thing is not that God is love, but that God is light. This is the message, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones makes the point that if we do not start with the holiness of God, we will never understand the gospel. God saves us through the cross, the death, the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the obvious question that a person would ask is, why do we need the cross? Why is this the only way that people can be saved? You hear that question, I'm sure, all the time. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, and I quote, if God is only love and compassion and mercy, then the cross is surely meaningless. For if God is love alone, all he needs to do when a man sins is forgive him. So you see, if you do not start with the holiness of God, which is what John does here, God is light, you will not understand the gospel. And John wants us to grasp the gospel because he wants us to know that we have eternal life, and grasping the gospel begins with the holiness of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Then John introduces us to this glorious possibility, staggering possibility, that we should have fellowship with this holy God. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him. Fellowship with him. Now, friends, this is the greatest blessing that a human being can possibly know. This is the very purpose for which we were made. God has called us, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, into fellowship with his Son. We live in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And here John says in chapter 1 and verse 3, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Fellowship means that you are a friend of God. Fellowship means that you share in his life and God himself shares in your life. And eternal life itself is a life of fellowship with God. Remember, Jesus said to the Father in John 17 and verse 3, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now, John tells us two things about fellowship with God, and they are our focus today. And the first is that fellowship with God is impossible for a person who walks in darkness. Look at verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him," that is with the God who is light and in whom is no darkness at all, "if we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Now, here is a person who claims to have fellowship with God, speaks often about God, likes to talk about his or her faith, speaks often about how God leads me, speaks about how God shows me what to do, but at the same time, this person is walking in darkness. Notice the word "while." It's very important. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness. So here's a person. On the one hand, they claim to have fellowship with God. On the other hand, this person, he or she, is walking in darkness, and these two things are happening at precisely the same time. Now, what does it mean to walk in darkness? To walk in darkness is to hold on to what God calls sin and refuse to let it go. No confession, no repentance, just excuses or explanations or concealments or self-justifications. And of course, is what Adam did. You remember his first instinctive response when he sinned against God by breaking his commandment? He hid in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And of course, we may speculate on why he did this. Was it pride? Was it fear? Maybe it was shame. Whatever it was, the fact and the reality of the matter was that instead of coming out into the light and confessing his sin to God, what Adam did was that he hid, and you cannot have fellowship with God while you're hiding from him. Now notice that John says, while we walk in darkness. So John is not saying, and very clearly he's not saying, if there's any sin in your life, you're not a Christian. If there's any sin in your life, you cannot have fellowship with God. He cannot mean that, because he says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's talking about walking in darkness. And walking, by definition, is a continuing action. Walking in darkness means staying in darkness. And fellowship with God is impossible, John is saying, for a person who walks or stays in darkness. Now, this theme is very important, and it runs throughout 1 John. For example, chapter 3 and verse 6, John says, "No one who abides in him keeps on sinning." Notice the walking, the staying in darkness, keeps on sinning. "No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him." So think about the prodigal son when he was in the far country. When he was in the far country, his father loved him. When he was in the far country, the father was ready to welcome him home. But the prodigal son did not have fellowship with his father while he was in the far country living among the pigs. It was only when he returned home, only when he came out of the darkness and into the light, that his fellowship with his father was so wonderfully restored. Now, John is saying something very important that we need to hear today. Fellowship with God is impossible for the person who walks in darkness. John says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, the lie here is to the suggestion or the idea that sin doesn't matter. That's the lie. And it's a lie that still grips the minds of many people, that somehow we can have fellowship with God irrespective of how we choose to live. And John says, if you think that you can have fellowship with God irrespective of how you live, if you think that you can have fellowship with God while you are walking in darkness, you have bought into a lie. And your claim to have fellowship with God is empty. It's an illusion. You have, in fact, deceived yourself. This is very important. Fellowship with God is impossible for the person who walks in darkness. That's the first thing. The second thing is that fellowship with God is the joy of a person who walks in the light. Notice the contrast now in verse 7. But, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this theme of walking in the light is really important, and it is often misunderstood. So let's clear away two misunderstandings before we get to what John is saying here. The first misunderstanding to clear away is simply this, that walking in the light is not perfection. Walking in the light is not perfection, thank God. This is really, really good news because, of course, if walking in the light meant that we had to be completely free from all sin before any of us could have fellowship with God, none of us would ever have fellowship with God. In fact, no one would ever have fellowship with God. If we say we're without sin, we're deceiving ourselves, is the very next verse. The Bible never teaches that we must be free from all sin in order to have fellowship with God. John states this quite clearly in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Fellowship with God is promised to people who know and confess their sins. Think about this, it is very wonderful. Though the impulse towards sin remains in us, and though we never move beyond our need to confess our sins and seek God's forgiveness, yet by his grace through Jesus Christ, it is possible for sinners like us to have fellowship with God. That's the heart of the gospel. Walking in the light is not perfection. You can breathe a huge sigh of relief with that. Here's another thing that I think is worth mentioning. Walking in the light is not transparency, sometimes misunderstood in that way as well. Notice John says we are to walk in the light as he, that is God, is in the light. Now, the Bible tells us that God is pure. The Bible tells us that God is holy, that God is true, and that God cannot lie. But God is not transparent. There are many, many things that we do not know about him, many things that he has not chosen to reveal about himself. And so God calls us to a life that is pure, that is honest, and is true. But the Bible never suggests that we are all under an obligation to tell everyone everything about ourselves. So let's clear away these misconceptions. Walking in the light is not perfection, and walking in the light is not transparency. The Bible never commands that you are under an obligation to tell everybody everything about yourself. You are called to be pure and true, and you are called to be honest and not to live a lie. So what does it mean to walk in the light? Three things. First, walking in the light means submitting yourself to the light of God's word. Your word, the scripture says, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you want to have fellowship with God, you must know what pleases him and what offends him. And if you want to know what pleases and offends God, you have to let him tell you. And the way that he tells you what pleases him and what offends him is through the Bible. So submit yourself. If you want to have fellowship with God, you begin here by walking in the light, which means that you submit yourself to the light of God's word. And what that means, and this is radically countercultural for our world today, if you want to have fellowship with God, you have to quit defining sin for yourself. You may have heard the story about the archer who claimed that he hit the bull's eye every time he shot an arrow. And people were amazed at this claim and asked him, how do you do that? Oh, he said, it's easy. I shoot the arrow, and then I draw the target round wherever it lands. Now, coming up with your own definition of the target, coming up with your own definition of what you think pleases God and what you think offends God, that is the surest path to self-deception. You cannot get to fellowship with God that way. This is how people end up thinking that they have fellowship with God when actually they are walking in darkness. Walking in the light means submitting yourself to the light of God's word. You quit defining sin for yourself. You say, God, you must tell me what it is that pleases you and what offends you. And whatever it is, I'm going to submit to what you say because I want to have fellowship with you in reality. I don't want to be self-deceived. Second, walking in the light means confessing your sin in the light of God's word. This is where John goes next, and we'll follow it over these next weeks. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the reality that you will find. You've been wandering along defining sin for yourself, and you say, wait a minute, this is the road to self-deception. I've got to get off this path. And now you say, okay, I'm going to start submitting myself to the word of God. I'm going to let God tell me through the scriptures what is right and what is wrong, what pleases him and what offends him. You start down that road, it won't be long before you're thoroughly convinced that you are much more a sinner than you ever thought. Light reveals what is hidden in darkness. And the surest evidence that a person is walking in the light is that he or she feels his or her need of cleansing. You might feel very virtuous if you are walking beside someone whose lifestyle you despise. But no one feels virtuous walking beside the God who is holy, holy, holy. Walking in the light means not only that you submit yourself to God's word, but that you confess your sins in the light of it. And third, walking in the light means ordering your life in the light of God's word. You order your life according to his word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, we'll come to this later in the series. By this we know that we have come to know him. We know that we know. See, that's assurance. That's being sure. You know that you know. By this we know that we have come to know him. How? If we keep his commandments. Isn't that striking? John says, this is how you come to know that you know God. This is one of the strands of assurance. Not the only one, but it's one of them. A life of obedience. And the more you pursue obedience to God, the more confident you will become that you really do belong to him. There's an old hymn that some of us will know and perhaps recognize. Trust and obey. And it begins with these words. When we walk with the Lord, remember the next line? In the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. This is how assurance is found. We walk with the Lord in the light of his word. That's fellowship with God, coming, walking in the light. It's right out of 1 John, that hymn. What a glory he sheds on our way. So fellowship with God is the joy of a person who walks with in the light. It's impossible for the person who stays in the darkness, but it is the joy of the person who walks in the light. And walking in the light means that you're submitting yourself to the light of God's word, that you are confessing in the light of God's word, and that you are seeking to order your life according to God's word. And then, that's what it means. John tells us wonderfully what walking in the light brings. Two things. First, walking in the light brings fellowship. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, of course, he's begun by telling us how we have fellowship with God. But you see here that he's telling us that in coming into fellowship with God, we have another wonderful blessing, which is that we have fellowship with one another. Darkness is a lonely place, you know. Darkness is a lonely place. It's full of secrets, terribly isolating. Walking in darkness means you're not honest with yourself. And of course, if you're not honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anyone else. You certainly can't be honest with God. So you're just isolated. It's a very lonely place to walk in darkness. But you know what? If you walk in the light, you will never walk alone. Other people are also seeking fellowship with God. And as you walk with him, you're going to find that you're walking with them. That will be your experience. The more and closely you walk with God, the more you will find yourself entering into fellowship with other people. A purely private walk with God is impossible for this reason. If you walk with God, there are lots of other people who are walking with him as well. You cannot walk with God alone. Then John gives us this most wonderful blessing of all. Walking in the light brings not only fellowship, it brings cleansing. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I want you to think about this with me for a moment. John could have said, if we believe in Jesus, his blood will cleanse us from all sin. That's true, isn't it? He could have said that. But John's concern here is that some of his readers may have bought a lie that perverts the gospel, a lie that some might be tempted to believe even today. And that lie is that the blood of Jesus cleanses from sin, even if a person continues to walk in darkness. And John wants to expose that lie because he wants us to have genuine fellowship with God and to have eternal life. So what he says is, if we walk in the light, that's a condition. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It flows from walking in the light. It's part of fellowship with God. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Sin stains. It spoils. It has an internal effect that changes us from the inside out. It twists the mind. It distorts the heart so it is drawn to all the wrong things. It dulls the conscience. So you see, we need more than forgiveness because sin has had an internal effect in us as well as an external effect of making us guilty before God. It's actually brought twistedness into us. But here we have this wonderful statement that the blood of Jesus cleanses us. We need cleansing. And John says, if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. And he says, from all sin. You notice that? All sin? So just think about what that means in regards to us gathered here in this service today. James Denny lists some of the sins that may be ours. And John speaks later in his letter about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You could add to that the impulsive sins of youth, the lazy, self-indulgent sins of old age, pride, discontent, envy, love of money, love of this world, ingratitude to God, the list goes on and on and on. And then James Denny says this, think of the deep stain these things leave, and then consider that it is the will of God to cleanse us altogether from them, and that he has provided a power that is able to do so. Dreadful as is the power of sin, there is a power in the world which is still more strong and more wonderful. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Try and take this in today. It will give you hope and strength and encouragement. The most powerful thing in the world is not the sin that we know all too well. The most powerful thing in the world is the blood of Jesus Christ that is able to cleanse us from it. And John wants us to know, this is amazing, that as we walk in the light, this actually happens. The blood of Jesus Christ that would not have reached you if you had remained in the darkness, it will progressively cleanse you. It will wash you. It will sanctify you as you walk in the light. And that is how it is possible for us sinners, though we are, to walk with our holy God in fellowship. Now, I want us to end here today by calling all of us to respond to these scriptures in two ways. The first is to renounce the lie, and then more briefly, to practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So let's take this in. John's identifying a lie that still circulates today. The lie is sin doesn't matter. As long as you believe in Jesus, doesn't matter how you live. The lie is that it is possible to walk in darkness and still to have fellowship with God at the same time. John wants us to know that the blood of Jesus does not cleanse those who remain in darkness. It cannot reach you there. You want the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, you have to come out into the light. What a terrible thing. I have shuddered as I've thought about this during the week. What a terrible thing it would be for someone here to spend his or her whole life telling yourself that you have fellowship with God, only to wake up in eternity and find that you've been lying to yourself and that your supposed fellowship with God was only a figment of your own imagination. And someone will say, well, now you're scaring me. And I thought you said that the aim of this series was that we might know that we have eternal life. Yes, it is. John says, I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. So why in the world would John begin that letter with that purpose by raising the horrible possibility that some of his readers may be deceiving themselves by believing a lie? Well, of course he does that. Because nothing could be more disastrous than to think that you have eternal life when you do not. And that is the position of any person who claims to have fellowship with God while walking in darkness. My dear friend, from the heart, I plead with you. If you are living in a way that God says is sinful, your claim to have fellowship with God is empty. The only way for you to have fellowship with God will be for you to come out of the darkness. You must start walking in the light. And I give you this promise that if you will do that, you will find fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. But you must renounce the lie. You must come out of the darkness. You must walk in the light. And then we must practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So you see that truth is more than something we know. Oh yes, we've got our notes. We know all this. Truth is something that we do. And the call of God through Scripture today to each and every one of us, speaker and hearers alike, is that we walk in the light, that our pattern of life is to submit ourselves to the light of God's Word, confess our sins in the light of that Word, and order our lives according to that Word. Walk in the light, dear brother, sister. You will have fellowship with God. You will have fellowship with others. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. And as Jesus said to his disciples, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Let's pray together. Father, deliver today any who have bought the lie. And grant that in your gracious mercy, walking in the light, we may have fellowship with you and fellowship with one another as the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us. from all sin. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon with Pastor Colin Smith of Open the Bible. To contact us, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or visit our website, openthebible.org.